All right, another fantastic open from Mario Ruiz. Always great to do Lakers talk. Appreciate you guys tuning in, Laker fans. We'll go for an hour, 7 to 8 p.m. Got a lot cooking on tonight's show. I'm going to spend some time talking about Russell Westbrook. I'm going to try to make a case that the Lakers might be better off with Russell Westbrook coming off the bench instead of starting, so I'll get into that. Anthony Davis has been an absolute beast since he's come back, but he's got a matchup coming tomorrow that he should take personal against Giannis Antetokounmpo. Four games left before the All-Star break. Trade deadline coming up this Thursday. And Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, will join the show as well. So we'll get the latest. Can the Lakers make a move? What are some of their options? What should we expect? So we'll do all that. Okay, let's start off with this. Four games left before the All-Star break. This is it, Laker fans, at least for, you know, you can't call it the first half of the season because technically first half would have been 41 games in. I think they're almost, what, 60? They would be 24 games left before we once we get to the All-Star break. But this is the schedule that the Lakers have in front of them before we get to the break. Now, the Lakers had some kind of had some gimmies here. At least last week, that was the case for the Lakers. When I'm saying gimmies, what I'm talking about is you played the Portland Trail Blazers, 12 games below 500. They're actually not in the play-in tournament right now. You played the Clippers, who are a tough team. They play tough. But talent-wise, they don't have Kawhi Leonard. They don't have Paul George. And then the last game you played was against the Knicks. You know, certainly a team that had higher expectations, but where they are in the Eastern Conference, they're five games below 500. You know, sitting, I think, 12th place in the Eastern Conference, something along those lines. So they're certainly struggling. That was last week. And you kind of, each game was close. One game you lost was against the Clippers. Another game, you went to overtime against the New York Knicks. So really weren't expecting the games to be that close, but that's the reality of the situation. At least you wouldn't expect that game against the Knicks to be that close. LeBron missed the Portland and the Clipper game. When I say four games left before the break, I'm a fan of this schedule and how tough it is for the Lakers. And I'll explain why I'm a fan of it. The reality for the Lakers is you've pretty much played, you've hovered around 500 all season long. You haven't really had a moment where you can look back at this Lakers season and say, remember that two-week stretch where the Lakers won six in a row? Remember that stretch where Lakers were making statement wins? They went on the road and they beat Philadelphia, or they went to Golden State or Phoenix and they had one of those dominating wins, and you thought to yourself, hey, you know what, the Lakers record, that doesn't really truly represent how dangerous they are. They haven't had those. And I think the more difficult the schedule is the rest of the way, the second toughest schedule in the NBA the rest of the way, I think we're just going to find out really what is this team. And there's a, you know, there's a reality to the situation. If the reality is, hey, this is just who this team is, they're 500 at best, they're going to get in that play-in tournament, hopefully get out of the play-in tournament, and then lose to the Warriors and the Suns, and then you're in the offseason. Now it's up to Rob Pelinka and LeBron and the front office and everybody else to figure out what they got to do in this offseason. That could be the reality, and I think that could tell a big part of the story over the course of these final 28 games, how they do against good opponents. Another scenario could play out. They could have some statement wins. They could have some wins. You know, these final four, Milwaukee, Golden State, and the Utah Jazz. And then wedge in a game against the Portland Trailblazers at Portland coming up this Wednesday. But I think they need games like this. I think if we're really, truly going to know what this Laker team is, and like I said, maybe the answer is already there, but what if it's a game, it's a dogfight against the Bucks tomorrow? What if they went up on Saturday night, they played the Golden State Warriors, they lost the game, but it was a good game, it was a close game. I know Golden State, they're still missing some pieces. Draymond's there, not there, Wiseman's not there, so they have some pieces that they're still missing. That's kind of the, well, if they can have some statement games or really tough battles or play up to their competition the way they play down to their competition, we could have a different narrative the rest of the season. And if it's not the case, then it's not the case. Because if I told you right now, looking at the NBA standings and the Lakers, we've had a lot of excuses all year long with the Lakers. And that's not going anywhere. I mean, whether it was, well, the three have only played X amount of games together, or Anthony Davis missed X amount of games, LeBron missed X amount of games, health and safety protocols, Trevor Ariza, Kendrick Nunn, go down the list. You know, we have plenty of excuses that we've had for the Lakers this year. But if I told you that you're this many games in, you're two games below 500, and if they kind of play the rest of the season this way, then we already have our answer. These are some of the matchups I want to go to. It's the Tankathon website. I know the remaining schedule, strength schedule. Lakers still got two against the Suns, three against the Warriors, game against the Bucks coming up tomorrow. Cleveland, who's actually having a good season so far, so they put them as one of their tougher opponents. Philly, two against the Utah Jazz. So you still have tough matchups left, you know, this year, and that's not including you'll have games against the Dallas Mavericks and the Denver Nuggets, and you'll play some of these other teams that are not considered the top tier in the NBA. I do really, really think that this is the part of the schedule that I'm most looking forward to, because they were either going to say, hey, we're still LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Los Angeles Lakers, that record does not indicate who we really are, or nope, that record indicates who we really are, and we're a 500 team or below 500 or a game or two above 500. So we'll get a chance to see that the rest of the way. So Saturday, Lakers taking on the New York Knicks. Games at Crypto.com Arena. Nationally televised, 5:30 game. You know, the two biggest markets in the NBA. Not the two best teams, not even close, but the two biggest markets in the NBA. And I'm sure that when the schedule initially came out before the season started, you thought, hey, this actually could be a fun game. This could be a big game. And that has not been the case for both teams. The Knicks are, you know, been a dumpster fire this season. And the Lakers, we know where they are. Scenario plays out where the Lakers are down 20-plus points, come all the way back, and then in a position where they're up 7 with, I think, a minute and 17, a minute 20 seconds, something like that. And the Lakers blow a 7-point lead. And then overtime starts. And the Lakers don't play Russell Westbrook in overtime. They end up winning the game. They outscore the Knicks 11-4. Well, of course, there's going to be conversation about Russell Westbrook not playing in that overtime. I've said this before. When the Lakers benched Russell Westbrook the final almost 4 minutes or so against the Indiana Pacers, they ended up losing that game. I said that, you know, the coach has got to, he's got to do what he thinks is in the best interest of the team. Travis and I were talking about this morning. And Travis was making the case of, well, there's a lot of pressure for coach to play Russell Westbrook. And I get it. This is supposed to be your three stars. We got to stop having that conversation, by the way. It's LeBron, Anthony Davis. Russell Westbrook is not, he's not in the class of where LeBron James and Anthony Davis is. Part of the conversation was, does Vogel feel a lot of pressure? He's making $40-plus million. He's got to be in these games in crunch time. I'm completely the other way. And I think a lot of this has to do with where the Lakers are sitting today. It's not personal. The Lakers are trying to win games. Coach Vogel is trying to keep his job and win games in the process. And the only thing the Lakers are judged on is by wins and losses. That's how they're judged. And up to this point, they're obviously failing, being two games below 500, ninth place in the Western Conference, not even a spot in the playoffs. You got to go through a play-in tournament. And if the playoffs started today, they'd have to go 2-0 in the play-in tournament just to get that chance to go up against the Phoenix Suns. So Vogel's in a position where I really, really don't think at this stage of the season he's got to worry about, well, I got to play Russ. Well, he's making X amount of dollars. Well, I feel pressure that the organization won't be happy with me if I'm not playing Russell Westbrook at the end of games. Can I simplify this, Laker fans? And I think most Laker fans would agree with this. We've got a chance to watch this whole thing play out all year. There are two names that are guaranteed to close out games. It's LeBron James and it's Anthony Davis. Those are the only two names you have to mention when it comes down to closing out games. Russell Westbrook is one of those situations. How's he playing? Does he have four or five turnovers, or does he have one? Is he having a good shooting night where he's 6 of 10 from the field and he's taking the right shots and he's attacking the basket and getting to the free throw line? Or is he 1 of 10 from the field and it's just not his night? He's not hitting shots. Okay, let's say he's struggling from the field. But does he have 9 rebounds and 9 assists and he's finding other ways to be effective for the Lakers? Or is that not the case? The game against the Knicks, for me, it was simple. I actually tweeted this out before we even got to overtime. It might have been right after Russ missed those 2 free throws. Russ should not be closing out this game. And I think that, you know, the idea and the concept that he would be in a conversation where he has to close out games, maybe you can make that argument early on in the season when you're still trying to figure things out. We're 50-plus games in. We're good. Everybody has seen it. You know, everybody knows that the Lakers, the vision they had in the offseason with Russ is not panning out. And it's also other role players are not panning out. If you can go back and say, hey, THT or Alex Caruso, I'm sure the Lakers would say, yeah, probably Alex Caruso is a better fit than THT. I'm sure there are a bunch of different scenarios that could have played out early in the season. But where we sit today, Laker fans, of course Russell Westbrook should not be guaranteed minutes at the end. If he's playing well, he's in. If he's not playing well, was there another player standing out? I wouldn't be opposed to this as well. I think there's a case to be made that Russell Westbrook comes out of the starting lineup. That you take Russell Westbrook and his skill set and say, Russ, can we get the most out of you when you're playing with some of these other role players where you're the head of the snake, where the ball goes through you, where you're making the decisions, driving the ball, kicking the ball, penetrating and finding other guys, getting the fast break going. Right now, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook, it's not like you could look at those three players and say, wow, those three pieces fit perfectly together. You can't say that. So is there a way that you could say, okay, well, we know AD and Bron work together. That's no question about it. And LeBron by himself works. I mean, it's just LeBron James. This is what he does. But LeBron and Anthony Davis, those pieces complement each other. If Russell Westbrook is not a part of that mix, well, where has Russ been the best in his career? You don't even have to look very far. The Lakers played Charlotte when both Russell Westbrook and LeBron James were out of the game. Both of them were out due to injury. And Russ arguably had the best game that he's had with the Los Angeles Lakers. I think you're at a point, you're at a stage of the season where you got to try everything. You really do. And what do you have to lose? You know, and that's not to say that you're not trying to make the case that LeBron, Russ, and AD can't work together and it's impossible for it to happen. But I also think you should make the case we have to figure out what works. If an Austin Reeves and a Malik Monk is better off with LeBron and AD, those pieces all complement each other. It's okay to play those guys more minutes together. And I think, you know, this Russ piece for me, I'm not opposed to, by any stretch of the imagination, looking at Russell Westbrook, determining whether Russell Westbrook's having a good enough game to close out a game. And I also wouldn't be opposed to looking at Russell Westbrook and saying, is he better off coming off the bench for this Lakers team? Put the money to the side. Put how much he's putting to the side. Put to the side what you gave up to go get him. Put all that to the side. What helps you win games? The Lakers are not in the business of developing players right now. They're not in the business of not trying to hurt other people's feelings. They are in the business of, are we competing for a championship or not? And to this point of the season, 4 games away from the All-Star break, they're nowhere near that conversation. I think each one of these scenarios should at least be talked about and discussed and presented and tried. And I strongly believe that simply because we haven't seen anything to, you know, really make an argument that those three have to be together all the time. Actually, I think it's more of an opposite to that. Quick shout out here. Thank you to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, one of our partners here on Lakers Talk. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, and more. Just pull up, drive in, and drive out in about 15 minutes. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for location and game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Okay, a couple things I want to do here when we come back. Anthony Davis has a chance. By the way, if you want to hit me on the conversation about Russell Westbrook, if you think it's a crazy idea or a good idea to see how Russ would do off the bench with some of these other role players where he's the main player, Hit me on Twitter at Alan Sliwa. At Alan Sliwa. Simple as that. So Lakers got the Bucks tomorrow. I don't know if you guys remember the last matchup the Lakers had against the Bucks, but Anthony Davis has been so good since he came back from his injury. Man, if there's ever a time for AD to take a matchup personal, tomorrow is the night to do it. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Plus, in about 10 minutes or so, Bobby Marks, ESPN's NBA front office insider, will join the show. We'll get his thoughts on the upcoming trade deadline. Is there anything the Lakers can do? Should we expect anything? All that coming up soon. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. By the way, just a quick reminder, Bobby Marks, NBA, ESPN's NBA front office insider, he'll be joining the show in about 10 minutes or so. Okay, so tomorrow the Lakers got Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. And I want to try to refresh Laker fans. I want to refresh your mind here a little bit. So they played early on in the season. I think it was the 16th game of the season for the Lakers, 15 for Milwaukee, something along those lines. So early on, early enough where, you know, we know that there's still a lot of basketball left. Both teams were hovering right around 500. And Michael and I, pregame show, and this is, you know, a conversation we always enjoy having when it comes to some of the better players in the league, when we get a chance to see these guys go head-to-head. And the conversation was about Giannis Antetokounmpo and Anthony Davis, that AD's got to take a game like this personal. That all the chatter right now about the best big men in the NBA, AD's name's not coming up. Now, can you change that narrative? Of course he can. Is he an NBA champion? Of course he is. Did he have just an unbelievable playoff run in Orlando? Yes, he did. And has he been fantastic for the Lakers since he came back from his injury? Yes, no question about it. I mean, some of the stats for Anthony Davis. The Knicks game, he had 28-17, 4 blocks and 3 steals. Come on now. Game against the Clippers, he had 30-17, 2 steals and 2 blocks. Blazers, 30-15. The game against the Sixers went up against Embiid, 31-12. He's been really, really good since he came back. But I remember that game against the Milwaukee Bucks. That mano-a-mano matchup was not a mano-a-mano matchup. AD had 18 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. 18-9. You guys remember what Giannis had? And they went up against each other. This wasn't a, oh, well, he's guarding Brook Lopez. No, no, no. This was Giannis and Anthony Davis, for the most part, those were the two that were going up against each other. Giannis had 47-9 against Anthony Davis. So AD had 19, Giannis had 47. Now you can make the case, you could say, all right, well, LeBron probably took a lot of the load as well. No, 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 LeBron didn't play in that game. It was Anthony Davis versus Giannis Antetokounmpo. And, you know, when we have discussions about the best big men in the NBA, Embiid's name comes up, Jokic's name comes up, and Giannis's name comes up. Now, in the past, of course, AD's name always comes up with that in that little conversation there. But I think AD's now trying to work his way back into that conversation because Giannis has been an MVP. He's coming off a championship. Jokic was just an MVP. And I think Embiid is a leading candidate right now for MVP in the NBA. And they update those every week or so. AD's not in that conversation. AD's not in the All-Star game this week or this year, and part of that is more to do with just injuries. That's really all it has to do with. He just didn't play enough games to get in. DeJounte Murray, they announced a little bit earlier today that he is going to replace Draymond Green. I think LaMelo Ball is replacing Kevin Durant. So there's a reason why Anthony Davis is not there. It's not because of skill set. It's because he didn't play enough games. But I like going back to that game and talking specifically about how AD and Giannis matched up against each other, because he's supposed to be in that conversation. He should be in that conversation. AD should be in that conversation with the best bigs in the NBA. And like I said, since he came back from his injury, he has been as close to the version that we remember in Orlando in quite a while. So that's exciting for Laker fans. I mean, one of the things that's a little discouraging is he's playing really well. LeBron, you know, came back and instantly his numbers were through the roof again, and they needed overtime to get through the Knicks. Tomorrow's a great test for the Lakers. And tomorrow's a great test for Anthony Davis to roll up his sleeves and get back to work. I mean, you know, where you can really, really have confidence about the Lakers, some of the confidence you could have is if AD and LeBron, is it possible for them to take this team to another level over the final 28 games? Of course it is. That's not unrealistic. But you either do it, or you're either going to do it or you're not. And I think that test tomorrow against the Bucks is a perfect start to this. And as we sit here today, it's tough when you're playing the Knicks or the Clippers or you're playing Portland like they did last week. LeBron in and out of the lineup. I want to see them against good competition. Tomorrow is really as good as it gets as far as competition goes. I think Milwaukee, they've won a few games, over the 13 games over 500. They're half a game out from the best record in the Eastern Conference. So it's going to be a matchup. It should be a matchup that they take personal, and it 100% should be one of those matchups where Anthony Davis says, let me go on Giannis, and let me try to shut down Giannis. Nobody's saying he's going to, you know, Giannis is going to have 10 points and 6 rebounds, but that should be more of a personal matchup for Anthony Davis. And since he came back, he puts up numbers like that tomorrow. Maybe the Lakers can surprise some people over the next week or so when they take on some of the stiffer competition. I was looking at the stats here. I'm sorry, I was looking at the standings here. I'm trying to think here. What's the best case scenario for the Lakers at this point in the standings that we think is realistic? Okay. Denver's got a 4-game cushion on the Lakers. I personally don't think the Lakers are going to jump into that 6th slot by the time the season is over. Part of it is the way the Lakers have been playing. The other part of it is strength of schedule. And the other part of it is Denver and Dallas are not bad teams, so I don't think they're going to go into some spiral and you know, end up losing 5-6 games in a row or something along those lines. The best case scenario that the Lakers are in at this point, you have to at least get in front of the Clippers. You have to at least pass the Clippers in the standings. They went out and made a trade here over the weekend. They went out and made a trade where they got Norman Powell and Robert Covington from the Portland Trailblazers. So instantly kind of tells you that they're not going to be sellers here. They're going to hope and pray that Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, or both of those players come back. So they're going to, you know, obviously try to be a part of the mix here. It's the Timberwolves, who are 3 games above 500, that if the Lakers can't get to that 7th seed, I think the best case scenario we're looking at now is Lakers trying to get up to that 8th spot. If they could get up to that 8th spot, then you're at least not having to do 2 single elimination games to get into the playoffs. They'd have to go win 1 game on the road, I guess you could technically say, and then host a game if they lost that game. So we'll see how things play out. But that's kind of what I'm looking at from a best case scenario. I just don't think there's enough games, nor do I think the Lakers have shown that they're going to go on this 6-7 game winning streak with a schedule this tough. So with that being said, that's kind of best case right now for standings-wise. Can you get into that 7th slot? At worst, can you get into that 8th slot? And then just position yourself in that play-in tournament. What's crazy? StatMuse put up this stat. The Nets and Lakers were the championship favorites before the season started. They both would be in the play-in tournament if the season ended today. Who has had more of a disappointing season? So, for those who don't know, we know what the Lakers are doing. Brooklyn has lost 8 games in a row, 29-24. James Harden's been out. KD has been out. And then Kyrie can obviously only play in the road games. I think it's Lakers' more disappointing of the season, to be honest with you, because we've seen glimpses of Brooklyn when they had their 3 players blow out the Chicago Bulls in a road game. the Lakers, you've seen their three players together, and it hasn't been crisp, perfect, beautiful basketball. So I think the disappointing, it's more the Lakers. Plus, you could look at Brooklyn and say, all right, well, they're still five games over 500 now. I mean, it's insane to me that they're that they're in the seventh spot, but in the Eastern Conference, they're 4.5 games from first place in the Eastern Conference. The Lakers are sitting at 17 games out of first place. That's a combination of the Phoenix Suns being 42-10 and Miami, who's on top of the Eastern Conference, being 34-20. So that kind of plays it out both ways. All right, let's do this. We got I'm excited for this one. Reached out to Bobby Marks, who's been on the show a number of different times, but it's been a while since we last had him on. Bobby Marks, who's the ESPN NBA front office insider, he's coming up next. We're going to get his thoughts on the NBA trade deadline. What can we expect from the Lakers? Are there other moves, teams in front of the Lakers in the Western Conference or behind the Lakers in the Western Conference, that we should expect to be active? So all that coming up next. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. A good game coming up tomorrow. Lakers and the Bucks. Just remember, Michael and I will start the pregame show at 5:30. Tip-off will be at 7 o'clock. Want to welcome in ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks for taking some time on the show. Bobby, I know it's a crazy busy week, but always appreciate the time, man. Thank you very much.
No, thanks for having me. Appreciate
okay,
it.
So I'm curious, Bobby, and you know I know we'll get your thoughts on the Lakers season and everything else, but just the position that they're in right now, two games below 500, and also looking at from an asset perspective and some of the contracts that they have in front of them, should we expect much or anything by Thursday for the Lakers? Do you expect them to be in the mix here, or are they going to kind of have to be on the sidelines and work with what they got?
Yeah, I think probably more fringe move type deals, whether it be moving guys like DeAndre Jordan or Kent Bazemore, similar to what we saw with the Rajon Rondo trade, opened up a roster spot for them to go out and sign Stanley Johnson. I think that's kind of the deals that you would be looking at, you know, potentially maybe even a player like Wayne Ellington here. I think, you know, we know what the assets are outside of, you know, the three guys that make $120 million. When you're looking at, you know, Horton Tucker and then Kendrick Nunn, who hasn't played, you know, it's, you know, $15, $16 million of salary. They've got that 2027 first to put in play if that's what they want. And I'm just not sure right now, you know, a couple days away from the deadline, if that's good enough to pry, for example, a Jeremy Grant from Detroit. And maybe it's good enough to get Eric Gordon, but are you willing to, you know, give up a first-round pick, for another shooter here. So I think you're looking just like, you know, it's as I said, like fringe-type moves just because you don't have the contracts to go out and get a Norman Powell and Robert Covington, comparable to kind of what the Clippers were able to do.
Yeah, it's interesting, Bobby, because, you know, I think most of this, you guys have kind of set up Laker fans pretty well of – don't expect that they're going to be able to go fix some of the problems that they have on the outside. They're really going to have to work on stuff from the inside. You mentioned Talen Horton Tucker. What is his – you know, I know he's only 21 years old, and There is an upside. Now, it's not like he's been consistent with the Lakers or anything along those lines, at least, you know, so far this year. What's his value in around the NBA? What are, just from your experience or from your knowledge or your insider, what do executives think of a guy like THT?
I think there's, the upside is there. I mean, that's what you talk to teams about. I mean, I think you probably want more of a complete body of work, more of a guy that consistently plays 25 to 30 minutes to figure out if it's worth giving up a really good player for him. He's got a 2 more years left after this year, but with a player option in that third year. Probably, I mean, if we're using baseball language, probably not a blue chip prospect, I would say. But good enough to kind of get your foot in the door and have a conversation here. And you just talk to teams is that you do want a little bit more of a body of work here.
Bobby Marks taking some time to join us here on Lakers Talk. He's the ESPN NBA front office insider. Bobby, of course, and this is since we got to the offseason, the conversation has been about the Lakers, their big three, the expectations. They're 2 games below 500. Russell Westbrook in the last game against the Knicks, as you know, nationally televised game, is benched in overtime, and the Lakers end up winning the game. But Russ's role is very questionable right now with the Lakers. If they play out the rest of the season and things don't go as planned, is a contract like Russell Westbrook, is it because it's in a expiring contract but the number is so high, is that a tough contract to – if they decide, hey, let's go in a different direction in the offseason, is that a tough contract to, I guess you can say, find a trade partner for, or is it more common because it would be in the final year of his contract?
Yeah, I think, as I always say, any contract is tradable. I think it's just a matter of what the Lakers front office is trying to accomplish. Is it to preserve flexibility in the 2023 offseason here? Are you willing to kind of take back money that stretches in there? It's a big number. So if it's a $47 million number, you probably got to get within $40 million of money that comes back in a trade. And the Westbrook situation is just interesting because, as you know, and you watch these games, there are nights like the Charlotte game a couple weeks ago, and I talked about it after the game, when he has less around him, where it's the Russell Westbrook that we saw in Washington, it's the Russell Westbrook that we saw in Oklahoma City. And then there are nights against the Knicks on Saturday night where he is not assertive. The ball's not in his hands. He's not part of the offense. Kind of just like there's like kryptonite on him. And his powers are diminished here. And how do the Lakers figure that out with James and Davis on the court with him? Because, this team, as great as LeBron and AD is, they're going to need Russell Westbrook to get, I think they can get out of the play-in, but to try to win a series here.
Yeah, that's actually going to be my next question. Do you think, how realistic do you think? I'm a fan of how tough the schedule is for the Lakers the rest of the way, because I think we're going to get some opportunities to see them, right? So they go against the Bucks tomorrow. They'll have the Golden State Warriors in Golden State on Saturday. They'll close it off, close out the All-Star break, before the All-Star break, against the Utah Jazz. Do you still think that this team can make some noise, that they can turn it around? Because I think right now, you're looking at the way things have been with everybody in the lineup, with one guy in, two guys out, two guys in, one guy out, and they've been pretty much a 500 team for the most part. What's your confidence level that with LeBron, Anthony Davis, and of course Russell Westbrook as well, that they'll be able to make some noise come playoff time?
I mean, the hard part is that they're sitting in 9. It's going to be hard to get to 6. I think where Denver is, how they're playing. Yeah, how they're playing, consistently. We'll see what happens if Murray and Porter come back. You got Minnesota in front of them, the Clippers. As I said, we went out and made that trade. Those teams are kind of a little bit hovering around that 500 mark. And as you said, they've got a tough schedule. And is there enough there to roll, 5 or 6 in a row, 7 in a row here? And that's going to be the hard part, kind of just stringing along, going 8-2, going 9-2 over these games. And if, as you know, if you're sitting at 9, you've got to win 2 games just to get into the playoffs. And then what's staring at you is possibly, you know, Phoenix, and you know how good they are, Golden State, maybe even a team like Memphis. So it's going to be a challenge, but you know, you've got LeBron. I like what I've seen from AD when how he's come back, but it's just a matter of kind of putting it all together.
Yeah, it's going to be, simply put, it's going to be an incredibly tough path. We're joined by Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN, taking some time here to join Lakers Talk. Bobby, is there a team or two that you think before Thursday's trade deadline to keep an eye out for that are going to be incredibly active? That I say that because, you know, you mentioned teams in front of the Lakers just in the Western Conference. Denver and Dallas are there. Will Memphis go out and try to make a move? Are there teams that think, and we'll talk about the Eastern Conference as well, that you think are going to be more active?
I think New Orleans will be interesting. They're at 10. They're in at the 10 seed right now. Probably, if you had asked me a month ago, probably more of a seller than a buyer. I think, you know, they've got this big trade exception. They've got some movable contract with Satoransky and Josh Hart. That's certainly a team to keep an eye on. Portland, if there's another move besides the trade they just made with CJ McCollum. Washington, as I said, is kind of my wild card just because of the Bradley Beal free agency that's looming in 4 or 5 months. Sacramento, of course, just because they have a lot of pieces that other teams like, but that don't fit with this current group.
And it's interesting, Bobby, because you know when you look at you listen to some of the rumors out there, and it's, you know, okay, is this move going to go down? Is this team going to go do this? And I know so much can happen between now and Thursday, but the activity in the NBA got started over the weekend. What do you think of the Clippers move of going out and getting Norman Powell and grabbing Robert Covington?
I give them a lot of credit. I mean, there's not many owners like Steve Ballmer that would go out and pay an extra $20 million towards the luxury tax this year. You know, the team is 500. We don't know when Paul, George, and Kawhi are going to be back. I think it's more of a move that sets them up for next year when they are healthy. You know, certainly you get Norman Powell for, after this year, 4 more years. They didn't have the flexibility to go out and add in free agency here. We'll see what happens with Covington, who's an unrestricted free agent in the off season. But, you know, considering what they gave up, you know, with Bledsoe, who, you know, wasn't really part of the rotation, you know, Justice Winslow, you know, Keon Johnson, a future too. I thought it was a really strong move, and there's not many teams that, you know, have an ownership group that are willing to go out there and spend the money, even if it's meant towards next year.
Bobby, do you think anything happens with Ben Simmons before now and between now and Thursday, or is that something more likely to some more movement there in the offseason?
I think that's more of an off-season, topic that we'll be talking about here. I find it hard to believe that Brooklyn would, unless the Philadelphia offers the kitchen sink, which I don't think is coming. I think Brooklyn's willing to kind of ride this out. I know they've really struggled. They went all in to get Harden. They still feel that when healthy with the three guys, they can get out of the Eastern Conference here. And if you do a Simmons deal, there's no guarantee that, especially for a player that hasn't played in a basketball game, I guess, since last July here. So I think we're talking about this in the off season. I would be surprised if, you know, either player has moved.
It's funny, Bobby, because Michael Thompson, who I do the pregame show with, him and I were having similar conversations, and I'm trying to figure out, isn't it worth taking the risk of saying we're going to play out the rest of the year if you're the Brooklyn Nets? And I know there's risk of if James Harden were to walk. I get that portion of it.
Yeah.
But, man, isn't this the opportunity to – and I know they're not healthy. I know they've lost 8 games in a row. Like, I get all that, but – when you get an opportunity like this, they don't come often. They don't come too often. And
right. Yeah,
I'm with you on that. I guess I'd be surprised if something happens here.
Yeah, I think circumstances dictate it, right? This isn't the summer of 2016 where everyone had cap space. You know, for him to get to Philadelphia strictly on his own with Brooklyn not getting anything back, there'd have to be a lot of maneuvers to basically just trade most of the roster without taking anything back here. And I think Brooklyn knows that. And if there's a deal to be made in the offseason, I think that's something that, you know, they'll pursue.
Bobby, final one. And again, as always, appreciate the time. The Lakers have been active the last couple of years in the buyout market. Are there some names out there that you think to keep an eye out on? Is that a route that you think the Lakers potentially take once the dust settles after the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, there always is. We always get about five or six names. I think it will be interesting as far as what happens with a guy like Gary Harris, who's in Orlando. I think Dragic gets moved by Toronto, by the deadline. He would have been a good guy as far as, certainly from a buyout standpoint. You kind of look at, teams like Detroit and Houston that are sitting in the bottom of the standing. Those are usually teams that you circle. But they've got most of their roster guys that are under contracts that are not free agents right now. Robin Lopez is an interesting name. If he gets bought out, as far as I know the Lakers already are pretty set at the center position here. But there'll always be a one guy that is on a playoff team that's probably not happy with his playing time and is bought out and kind of surfaces here. But I think Harrison in Orlando is probably the main guy to keep an eye on.
Bobby, thank you, man. I know it's a busy week, and making some time for us is always appreciated. So thank you very much for doing this, all right?
Yep, you're welcome. Thank you. Yep, right, appreciate it.
Thank you, man. That is Bobby Marks right there, ESPN NBA front office insider. Interesting stuff. A lot of takeaways from what Bobby Marks said right there. I think what is the value of Talen Horton-Tucker is an interesting one to me. The Russell Westbrook piece, that if things don't go obviously the way they were supposed to go this year, what do the Lakers do in the offseason with him? So let's get into all that coming up next. Plus, I got some thoughts on a few moves that were already made. We got a couple Laker updates from earlier today. LeBron spoke to the media. Coach Vogel spoke to the media. And we'll take a look at the NBA power rankings from ESPN as well. Quick shout out here, Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, and more. Just pull up, drive in, and drive out. In about 15 minutes, visit SoCalOilChange.com for location and game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change. We got a lot more coming up here on Lakers Talk. We'll give our final thoughts. We'll continue to preview the Lakers and the Milwaukee Bucks. That's coming up next as well as the Lakers take on the Bucks tomorrow. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, thank you again to Bobby Marks making it happen and joining Lakers Talk. Well, Laker fans, I don't think it's too surprising or a shock. I've talked about it. I know I've read a lot of good articles on this as well. Just not many assets for the Lakers to go out there and make a lot of noise. So, like Bobby mentioned, don't expect too much. Maybe a small move here or there. Maybe an opportunity in the buyout market. He mentioned keep an eye out for Gary Harris. That's a good name, actually, from a point guard perspective. But are they going to be able to go get Jeremy Grant or some of these other names? Probably not. I don't see that happening. And he kind of broke down what a guy like Talen Horton-Tucker, some of these guys' value is on this team. Couple quick updates here. So Coach Vogel spoke earlier today. Carmelo Anthony is going to be out tomorrow. On Kendrick Nunn, he said still not really ramped up where he's close to playing. So, if you're looking for some help, Kendrick Nunn, what he can do for the Lakers, can he be a piece for the Lake Show in the final 28 games? I got no idea. Hopefully he's available after the All-Star break. That's the best thing that you can ask for. Coach also mentioned that Dwight Howard missed practice today. He had a sore back, so we're not sure if he's going to play tomorrow. LeBron was talking about the trade deadline, said, I've said this every year, if there's an opportunity to get better, then you explore those options. Use an example of the Rams going out and getting Odell. So the Lakers, obviously, if there's a way to improve the roster, of course that's a goal. The problem is they don't really have any poker chips here to go make some moves. Okay, so I wanted to do this as far as previewing the upcoming games for the Lakers. By the way, I know I do this every week. ESPN Power Rankings came out earlier today. Top five teams in the NBA: Phoenix, Golden State, Memphis, Miami, Milwaukee. Lakers got the Bucks tomorrow. Are Lakers top 10? No. Are they top 15? No. Sitting at 19th. That's where they were last week as well. So this is obviously where the Lakers are. And I don't think it's a surprise or a shock or anything like that. Let me preview as we get closer to the show ending here. I want to preview the Lakers, just the games that they have this week. And as always, a quick shout out to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Just go to SoCalOilChange.com for location and game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Greatly appreciate their partnership. So if the Lakers this week went 2-1, what an accomplishment. I'm not kidding when I say that. That would be a huge accomplishment because that means you would have either beat on top of the Portland Trailblazers on the road. Portland's not good. They're selling off assets left and right is what it is. Damian Lillard's not in. But you're expecting to win that game against the Blazers. Expecting is a very strong word there. But if you went 2-1, that means you either beat the Milwaukee Bucks or the Golden State Warriors this week. The Bucks tomorrow, the Warriors nationally televised game Saturday night, ABC, Lakers and the Warriors up in San Francisco at Chase Center. If you went 2-1, that means you beat one of those two squads. Even if you went 2-2 before the All-Star break, which means, by the way, you'd be walking into the All-Star break 28-30, 24 games left in the season and still two games below 500. Even 2-2 would be accomplishment because you got one more game next week against the Utah Jazz. You got to go 2-2. You really do. And, you know, you heard Bobby Marks talking about it, how it's going to be so tough for the Lakers to try to get up to that fifth and that sixth spot. I mean, I think this trade deadline is going to tell a lot of it as well. A team like Dallas knows that, hey, we got to make some kind of move. And if they make some kind of move, they'll you know, further their separation between the Lakers or Denver, who they just need to get healthy at some point. Hopefully Jamal Murray comes back for them or maybe Michael Porter. Just by health, they would separate themselves a little bit further from the Lakers. But if you go 1-3 over these last four games and then Clippers start getting a little bit of cushion on you, I'm not worried about the Lakers not being in the play-in tournament. I'm worried about the Lakers having to win two games in a row to just get in the playoffs. And that obviously changes significantly whether you're in the eighth place or you're in the ninth place, whether you're in the seventh place or you're in the ninth place. Couple things I'm going to just going to promote here real quick. I'm back on tomorrow morning with Travis Rogers. We'll get our show started at 10 a.m., so we'll continue to talk Lakers, make a lot of comparisons between Giannis and Anthony Davis and where these two players are going, preview the Lakers and the Bucks, and then pregame show tomorrow with myself and Michael Thompson. We'll start our pregame show at 5:30. Tip-off will be at 7. Laker fans, as always, greatly appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Get on the podcast, Lakers Talk. Just search Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. Get the hour. Get the full interview with Bobby Marks. Hope you have a great rest of your night.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.